Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate your tuning in, and we hope that you listen for the duration of the program, for we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and divine word. If at any time you have a question about something that we say on the program, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to spend time in studying on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information that's given by the announcer, or you can contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastabbotville.org. You know, a saying that you hear so often said by people is that the idea that good, moral people will be saved by their morality. It's because you hear that so often that I think that it's necessary that we study God's Word to learn the truth on the subject. We know that it is His Word that will judge us come the judgment day. Jesus said in John 12, verse 48, "He that rejects me and receives not my words has one that judges him. The word that I've spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." So what we must learn from this verse is we need to conform our beliefs and our practices with what Jesus' words are in order to be assured of being able to stand in the judgment and be approved of Him. But you know, when it comes to the idea that good moral people will be saved simply on the grounds of their morality, I think a good case for us to consider is that of a man by the name of Cornelius. We read about him in the book of Acts in the 10th chapter of that book. We find the record pretty well stated about Cornelius in the very couple of first verses. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man, and one who feared God with all of his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. You know, I think by today's standard, from what I hear and from what I've been able to observe, that when a person is found who is a devout man, and that word devout simply means he is sincere, he is a man of piety, he is a religious, he's a worshipful man, that when you find a devout man, a man that fears God with all of his household, not just himself, but his whole household, he is in control of, that they too fear God. He gives alms, that is, he's generous, he's charitable, he's free-hearted, and he prayed to God always. I believe I've known of cases where preachers have stood over the dead bodies of many of an individual that fits this description, and based upon the description that they give of that person, they preach that person as having entered heaven. So that's why we're saying that it's so common to hear people think that all you really have to do in this life is just be a good, moral person, and that's all it takes to take you to heaven. But look at this case that we're looking at here with Cornelius. We've read those first two verses. We see the kind of man that he was. Let's look at him again. He was devout. He feared God. He gave much alms, and he prayed. And yet, what do we find? The angel telling him when he appeared to him. He said, "Send to Joppa," verse 5, "and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He's lodging with Simon a tanner, whose house is by the sea." Now listen to this. "He will tell you what you must do." It's also in the reaccounting that Peter gives of Acts chapter 10 and the things concerning Cornelius that we read in Acts chapter 11 in Peter's reaccounting. And we see in all of this that it took Peter coming to Cornelius to speak to him the words of the gospel, and the result being that Cornelius and his household were baptized, as we find in verse 47 of Acts 10. Peter said, "Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized?" And so in verse 48, he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And then they asked him to stay a few days. Here's a person that, despite his good moral qualities, was a person that still had to hear the gospel, he had to believe the gospel, and he had to obey the gospel. And there were other men that had these attributes, but just like Cornelius, he too still needed to be saved. Take Saul of Tarsus. Saul was devout. Saul was very sincere. He was a very religious individual. Again, all of the attributes that many people today would say that it takes to qualify that person a sure entrance into heaven. And yet, in Acts 23 and verse 1, in all of this, Paul said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day." But what was his condition? Even with a good conscience, what was Saul's condition? His condition, he actually confessed when he wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15. He said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Devout, yes, sincere, absolutely. Religious, to the utmost. But yet, he was the chief of sinners, even though he did all of what he did with a good conscience. We find that, certainly, no one could deny the fear that prompted Felix to cause him to tremble. We read about that in Acts 24, verse 25, because Paul is standing before Felix, and Paul is preaching to Felix, the gospel. He says in verse 25 of Acts 24, that as he, that is Paul, reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled, and he answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for you." See, he trembled. Trembling is a result or the aftermath of fear. Felix had fear. When Paul reasoned with him concerning righteousness, temperance, and especially judgment to come, Felix trembled. But yet, he sent Paul away. "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for you." So here's a person that in the minds of many people today, if they hear the gospel and they tremble, you know, that has to be a sign of salvation. No, it wasn't in the case of Felix. He trembled when he heard the things that Paul had to preach and to say, but still he sent Paul away. We know that Jesus told of a man in Luke 18 at verse 12, when the man said, "I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess." And in verse 14, he said, "I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone that exalts himself should be abased, and he that humbles himself should be exalted." See, to give much alms, Jesus told the parable about this publican. But yet, this publican was justified rather than the other because of his humility. But yet the Pharisee had a lot of things to his credit. He made that statement back there in verse 11. He said, "I'm not an extortioner. I'm not unjust. I'm not an adulterer. And that's when he said that I fast twice in a week, I give alms of all that I possess." But yet still, all of those good qualities was not enough to justify him in the eyes of the Lord. It all had to do with the fact that he did not humble himself. You know, Saul, getting back to him, Saul of Tarsus, in the conversion that we read about of Saul in Acts, the 9th chapter, we see that as he was on his way to Damascus, he was struck blind. He had to be led on from that point to the city of Damascus. And when Ananias came to him, we find that he was still blind, but at that point he was praying. In fact, the statement made that he had been blind and been praying without food for 3 days. But yet, there, when Ananias came to him, as Saul later recalls his conversion in Acts 22, he said in verse 16 that when Ananias came to him, he said, "Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." You know, there are a lot of people today who believe that salvation comes as a result of praying the sins away. Friends, praying your sins away is not a statement. It's not a phrase you can find in the scriptures. That may be found in some creed book of some denominational church, but you're not going to go to the New Testament and find "pray your sins away," like so many people believe and like so many people teach. Instead, what you're going to find is what Acts 22 and verse 16 says. Yes, a man was praying, but Ananias didn't come to Saul and say, "Saul, have you prayed through yet?" No, he said, "Why do you tarry? Arise and be baptized and pray your sins away?" No, wash your sins away. You know, on and on we could go. But I hope that the point is clearly established that these attributes of morality, whether we're talking about being devout, whether we're talking about fearing God, whether we talk about giving much alms, or whether we're talking about prayer, people that engage in all of these things, these are not the things that in and of themselves save men's souls. But again, like we said, Cornelius, back to his example, he had all of these attributes, and yet he was unsaved. In Acts 10, we read in verse 6, it says that he lodges with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He will tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And in Acts 11 and verse 14, the statement is made, he shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. Friends, one cannot be saved unless he's lost. Cornelius, as good as he was morally, he was lost. How then could he be saved? Well, how was he saved? Well, he heard the words of salvation when Peter came to him in Acts 11 and verse 10. He said, he will tell you words whereby you and all of your household shall be saved. He was commanded to believe, for that we read in Acts 10 and verse 43. He says, to him gave all of the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. So Cornelius believed, and he was granted repentance unto life, as Acts 11 and verse 18 teaches. And then Peter in Acts 10 and verse 48 commanded him to be baptized. Friends, we can't be saved by morality alone. We must obey the gospel of salvation as Cornelius did. We see our time is gone. Thank you so much for listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. Until then, we bid you a pleasant good day, and now we return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM, and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbottville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.